Intuit and Credit Karma want to form a one-stop shop for your financial life. Yes, it involves data. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Everyone wants a piece of your finances. Apple, Amazon, Google, even Uber are getting into financial services. Neobanks offer all digital checking accounts. And now Intuit, maker of TurboTax, QuickBooks, and Mint, wants to buy Credit Karma for $7 billion. Credit Karma offers free credit scores, tax prep, and helps people shop for credit cards and loans. Intuit says it wants to build a personal financial assistant that uses your data to connect you to even more credit cards and loans. Here's Intuit CEO Sasan Goodarzi.
Yeah, I mean, our vision is very much, and it's, of course, shared with Credit Karma. Our vision is to put the power of choice in the consumer's pocket. We truly want them to be able to carry around a financial assistant that at any point in time, they can connect to a product that's right for them and all the choices are in front of them. You know, part of the challenge is, if you're picking your credit card, you don't know if actually it's the one that's right for you with the best rate. If you're picking an auto loan, you're more negotiating the fee of the or the monthly payment of the car versus are you getting it at the best rate. This is about putting choice in truly the pocket of the customer and letting them know what's right for them and improving their financial life. So that's the really the vision that separately both Credit Karma and Intuit have, and together we believe we can accelerate it by 10 years.
Well, let's pivot to data. How valuable is that? One thing you're getting with this acquisition is, of course, a lot of personal data that Credit Karma has been known for not selling. How valuable is that data? And do you expect to monetize it in the future?
Well, you know, let me start with our data stewardship principles, that it's the customer's data, not ours, that we will never sell the data. And the data will never be used without the customer's consent. And when they consent, it will only be used for their benefit. As we look ahead, doubling down on those principles collectively is important, and it's really pulling together the data for the customer so it's in their hands.
Just as a practical matter, can consumers say, I may have opted into sharing my data with Credit Karma, but not with Intuit, and I would like to withdraw?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a pretty big purchase, and we're seeing a lot of other consolidation, and the rest of the tech industry is having questions asked about consolidation and antitrust. Are there any concerns like that here?
Yes. We're going to be working very closely with regulators to provide all the data that they need, think through the market structure. And we're actually quite confident in the outcome because at the end of the day, regulators' job is a very important one to ensure that whatever is being done is good for the end customer and the end consumer. And in this case, this is going to fundamentally propel the choices for customers to help improve their financial health. So we feel really good about just the impact this is going to have for the end customer.
And then how does consumer financial literacy play into all of this? Is it, you know, do consumers have right now the financial literacy to play at this high level, or is it part of your goal to increase that as well?
Well, one, our job, and Credit Karma does this very well today, our job is to make things drop dead simple so that really the consumer is making a choice of what's right for them in a very, very transparent fashion. And so making sure it's easy and seamless and intuitive, it will always be the goal. With that said, part of what the two companies are separately already doing, and when we bring them together, it'll just simply accelerate it, is educating consumers on how to improve their credit rating. Because at the end of the day, your credit rating drives what you're able to get and at what interest rates. And so helping them understand, you know, the utilization on credit cards, helping them understand making payments on time, helping them set goals around making all their payments on time. Those types of things is what teaches consumers what they should be doing so that they can improve the health of their financial life. And that's part of what we will continue to do and accelerate doing beyond just connecting people to financial products, is educating them so that they can ultimately improve the health of their life.
Sasan Goodarzi is the CEO of Intuit. The deal is the third big fintech merger announced in the last 2 months. Morgan Stanley said last week it'll buy E-Trade for $13 billion, and Visa snapped up the digital payments processor Plaid for $5 billion in January. And now for some related links. You can read more about the recent wave of fintech mergers at our website, marketplacetech.org. Also, I've thrown in a link to a column I wrote for Wired back in November about how a big part of the pitch behind a lot of these neobanking services is to try to improve your financial health because they assume your financial health is not great. I called it monetizing your brokenness. And it's a part of the Intuit and Credit Karma pitch, too, in some ways. Many of these services offer tools to help people save or deal with crippling student loan debt or even get access to their paychecks a couple days early because so many people live paycheck to paycheck. It's sort of a depressing trend, although I guess if it actually helps and actually can improve people's financial health and literacy, then I guess, yay, technology? And here's what else we're watching in tech. This first item is also a related link. The scooter company Bird has struggled to make money renting scooters, and so it's hoping to make money by convincing consumers to use the app that they use to rent scooters to pay for things by scanning QR codes, those little barcode things that have literally never worked for anything so far. Hey, but maybe Bird can crack that nut. We'll see. Also in retail and tech, Amazon opened its first grocery store in Seattle on Tuesday called Amazon Go Grocery. Like its other convenience stores, the grocery store has no cashiers or checkout lines. And I guess after basically reducing Whole Foods to a warehouse for prime delivery goods, Amazon figured, why not just go ahead and kill it off with robots? Poor Whole Foods. And California's new gig worker law just hit the grocery delivery company Instacart. A judge in San Diego ruled that Instacart has misclassified almost all of its workers as independent contractors instead of employees. Now, since this classification is the key to Instacart's entire business model, the company plans to appeal. And finally, having successfully launched Disney Plus, Disney CEO Bob Iger has decided to drop the mic and move on. You can leave, Bob, but we still want our Baby Yoda merch. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.